Section 1. Listening. This section of the test has three parts. You will hear three recordings, which you will listen to twice. While listening, answer the questions in the appropriate part of the test. Follow the instructions. When answering questions in the first and second part, use the answer sheet labelled with a cross. When answering questions in the third part, use the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now prepare the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Part 1. You will hear an interview with Ken Davenport, a Broadway and off-Broadway producer. For the following statements, 1 to 7, choose the correct answer A, B, C or D. There is always only one correct answer. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part one.
Ken Davenport is a Broadway and off-Broadway producer of many shows. In the following interview, Ken will talk about his experiences and accomplishments throughout his profession.
Which was your most memorable show?
They always say you'll never forget your first. So I have to say it's my first show I ever did, which is called The Awesome 80s Prom.
You are the only independent producer to have had three off-Broadway shows running at the same time. How does that make you feel?
It's fantastic. I've been very fortunate to have had so many successes on and off Broadway. But having those three shows running at once was certainly quite a thrill and not an ordinary event. I don't remember if other producers have experienced such a wonderful thing.
You've won many awards, but Altar Boys was the first in 2005. Could you tell me about that experience? How did it make you feel?
It was great. It won the Outer Critics Circle Award. No one in this business does it for awards. We do it because we love the theater. And yet, to be recognized by a group of folks whose job is to judge the theater means a lot. It's very rewarding, but it's not what really motivates me.
Where do you get your inspiration for your shows?
I look to a lot from my own life. The Awesome 80s Prom is about the prom I always wanted to go to when I was in high school. And I became obsessed with John Hughes movies like Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, all of those. So I wanted to put a version on the stage. I produced a Will Ferrell show, You're Welcome, America, because I am a huge Will Ferrell fan.
Your productions are being produced internationally in over 25 countries. How rewarding does that feel?
It's great. I've been very fortunate to go to a lot of these places, from Korea to Finland to Chile. And when you go that far away and see a show in another language done by a whole group of people that you would never have met if it wasn't for your show, it's one of the most thrilling parts of my profession.
I know you founded Davenport Theatrical Enterprises in 2004. What exactly is that and what does it involve?
We produce shows, we develop shows, and then we also do a number of other things. We are a management company and handle marketing for a lot of shows. My mission is to amplify the conversation about theater, and this is the reason why I write my blog.
I understand you're the founder of the Independent Theater Bloggers Association, and you have your own blog. Could you tell me a bit more about that?
I started the blog 4 years ago to talk about the issues that I face as a producer and try to change some things. When I was coming up in college, there wasn't a blog like that. And the real reason for starting the blog was the fact that there wasn't a place I could interact with other professionals running and doing shows.
What are your future goals? Or is there anything you're currently working on?
Well, we created the board game we just launched in the last 6 months called Be a Broadway Star, which is getting a lot of attention. I have 3 musicals in development, including one based on the movie Somewhere in Time. But the great thing about my job is that someone could come into my office tomorrow and say, hey, there's a show I want to do on Broadway, and if I love the idea, I'll do it.
Now listen again.
Ken Davenport is a Broadway and off-Broadway producer of many shows. In the following interview, Ken will talk about his experiences and accomplishments throughout his profession.
Which was your most memorable show?
They always say you'll never forget your first. So I have to say, it's my first show I ever did, which is called The Awesome 80s Prom.
You are the only independent producer to have had 3 off-Broadway shows running at the same time. How does that make you feel?
It's fantastic. I've been very fortunate to have had so many successes on and off-Broadway. But having those 3 shows running at once was certainly quite a thrill and not an ordinary event. I don't remember if other producers have experienced such a wonderful thing.
You've won many awards, but Alterboys was the first in 2005. Could you tell me about that experience? How did it make you feel?
It was great. It won the Outer Critics Circle Award. No one in this business does it for awards. We do it because we love the theater. And yet, to be recognized by a group of folks whose job is to judge the theater means a lot. It's very rewarding, but it's not what really motivates me.
Where do you get your inspiration for your shows?
I look to a lot from my own life. The Awesome 80s Prom is about the prom I always wanted to go to when I was in high school. And I became obsessed with John Hughes movies like Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, all of those. So I wanted to put a version on the stage. I produced a Will Ferrell show, You're Welcome, America, because I am a huge Will Ferrell fan.
Your productions are being produced internationally in over 25 countries. How rewarding does that feel?
It's great. I've been very fortunate to go to a lot of these places, from Korea to Finland to Chile. And when you go that far away and see a show in another language done by a whole group of people that you would never have met if it wasn't for your show, it's one of the most thrilling parts of my profession.
I know you founded Davenport Theatrical Enterprises in 2004. What exactly is that and what does it involve?
We produce shows, we develop shows, and then we also do a number of other things. We are a management company and handle marketing for a lot of shows. My mission is to amplify the conversation about theater, and this is the reason why I write my blog.
I understand you're the founder of the Independent Theater Bloggers Association, and you have your own blog. Could you tell me a bit more about that?
I started the blog 4 years ago to talk about the issues that I face as a producer and try to change some things. When I was coming up in college, there wasn't a blog like that. And the real reason for starting the blog was the fact that there wasn't a place I could interact with other professionals running and doing shows.
What are your future goals? Or is there anything you're currently working on?
Well, we created the board game we just launched in the last 6 months called Be a Broadway Star, which is getting a lot of attention. I have 3 musicals in development, including one based on the movie Somewhere in Time. But the great thing about my job is that someone could come into my office tomorrow and say, hey, there's a show I want to do on Broadway, and if I love the idea, I'll do it.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Part 2. You will hear an expert talking about different parenting styles based on some psychological research. For questions 8 to 13, decide whether the statements are true, A, false, B, or whether the information was not given, C. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part 2.
You will hear an expert talking about different parenting styles based on some psychological research. Developmental psychologists have long been interested in how parents affect child development. However, finding actual cause and effect links between specific actions of parents and later behavior of children is very difficult and not so clear. Some children raised in dramatically different environments can later grow up to have remarkably similar personalities. On the other hand, children who are raised in the same environment can grow up to have surprisingly different personalities. Despite these challenges, researchers have uncovered convincing links between parenting styles and the effects these styles have on children. During the early 1960s, psychologist Diana Baumrind conducted a study on more than 100 preschool-aged children and identified 3 different parenting styles. Further research suggested the addition of a 4th parenting style, therefore we'll be discussing authoritarian, authoritative, permissive, and uninvolved parenting.
Authoritarian parenting. In this style of parenting, children are expected to follow strict rules established by the parents. Failure to follow such rules usually results in punishment. Authoritarian parents fail to explain the reasoning behind these rules. If asked to explain, the parent might simply reply, "Because I said so." These parents have high demands, but they are not responsive to their children. These parents expect their orders to be obeyed without explanation. Authoritative parenting. Like authoritarian parents, those with an authoritative parenting style establish rules and guidelines that their children are expected to follow. However, this parenting style is much more democratic. Authoritative parents are responsive to their children and willing to listen to questions. When children fail to meet expectations, these parents are more caring and forgiving rather than punishing. Authoritative parents are assertive. That means more supportive than restricting. They want their children to be assertive as well as socially responsible and self-regulated as well as cooperative. Permissive parenting. Permissive parents have very few demands to make of their children. These parents rarely discipline their children because they have relatively low expectations of maturity and self-control. These parents are more responsive than demanding. They are non-traditional and far from being strict. They do not require mature behaviour and consequently expose their children to a minimum of confrontation. Permissive parents are generally communicative and often take on the status of a friend more than that of a parent. Uninvolved parenting. An uninvolved parenting style is characterized by few demands, low responsiveness, and a minimum of communication. While these parents fulfill their child's basic needs, they are generally detached from their child's life. In extreme cases, these parents may even reject or neglect the needs of their children.
Now listen again.
You will hear an expert talking about different parenting styles based on some psychological research. Developmental psychologists have long been interested in how parents affect child development. However, finding actual cause and effect links between specific actions of parents and later behavior of children is very difficult and not so clear. Some children raised in dramatically different environments can later grow up to have remarkably similar personalities. On the other hand, children who are raised in the same environment can grow up to have surprisingly different personalities. Despite these challenges, researchers have uncovered convincing links between parenting styles and the effects these styles have on children. During the early 1960s, psychologist Diana Baumrind conducted a study on more than 100 preschool-aged children and identified three different parenting styles. Further research suggested the addition of a fourth parenting style. Therefore, we'll be discussing authoritarian, authoritative, permissive, and uninvolved parenting.
Authoritarian parenting. In this style of parenting, children are expected to follow strict rules established by the parents. Failure to follow such rules usually results in punishment. Authoritarian parents fail to explain the reasoning behind these rules. If asked to explain, the parent might simply reply, "Because I said so." These parents have high demands, but they are not responsive to their children. These parents expect their orders to be obeyed without explanation. Authoritative parenting. Like authoritarian parents, those with an authoritative parenting style establish rules and guidelines that their children are expected to follow. However, this parenting style is much more democratic. Authoritative parents are responsive to their children and willing to listen to questions. When children fail to meet expectations, these parents are more caring and forgiving rather than punishing. Authoritative parents are assertive. That means more supportive than restricting. They want their children to be assertive as well as socially responsible and self-regulated as well as cooperative. Permissive parenting. Permissive parents have very few demands to make of their children. These parents rarely discipline their children because they have relatively low expectations of maturity and self-control. These parents are more responsive than demanding. They are non-traditional and far from being strict. They do not require mature behaviour and consequently expose their children to a minimum of confrontation. Permissive parents are generally communicative and often take on the status of a friend more than that of a parent. Uninvolved parenting. An uninvolved parenting style is characterized by few demands, low responsiveness, and a minimum of communication. While these parents fulfill their child's basic needs, they are generally detached from their child's life. In extreme cases, these parents may even reject or neglect the needs of their children.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Now look at part 3. For part 3, you will need the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Please find and prepare it. Part 3. you are going to listen to a radio program for parents discussing issues about internet safety for their children. Listen to 6 suggestions. Below, you can read the information, 14 to 20, which is in the wrong order. Indicate the order in which you hear the information by writing a number 1 to 6 next to the number that indicates the information. Be careful. There's one extra summary. Put X next to the number indicating extra information. Write your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part 3.
You're going to listen to a radio program for parents discussing issues about internet safety for their children. It's difficult enough being a parent without worrying about internet safety as well. The key is to remember that the internet is a lot more like the real world than like television, to which it is so often compared. Parents often set rules about visiting a friend's house without an adult present. You may or may not enforce similar rules in your own home, but they are an excellent starting place for creating a positive and safe online experience. So, here are suggested rules about internet safety, which should be discussed with your children.
Suggestion number 1. Create rules about when and how long your children can use the computer. Be clear about what they can and cannot do online. If they need to complete chores or homework first, outline that as well. Discuss things like instant messaging, chat rooms, blogs, and social networking sites like MySpace, Facebook, Virtual Worlds, Club Penguin, Webkinz. Work out a contract with your children about household expectations and have everyone sign it. Don't forget to come up with consequences for breaking the rules. Suggestion number 2. It's not enough for your computer to be in a central location in your home if you're not observing what your kids are doing. Make a habit of pulling up a chair and talking to your children about what they're doing. If you expect to know who your kids are with and where they go when they leave the house, this is the same. Suggestion number 3. There is no difference between attending a sporting match or a field trip, which is an enjoyable experience you may share together. If your children have taken an interest in an online community such as Webkinz, MySpace, or Facebook, find out what they like about it. Sign up for your own account and add your children as a friend. This allows you to have a better sense of what they're doing and what sort of things they're coming in contact with. but it also shows your kids that you're interested in their activities. Suggestion number 4. There is no shortage of internet safety tools that might help you control, track, or limit what your kids can say and do online. Take the time to learn about internet filters, firewalls, monitoring software, browsers for kids, and other tools. While they are not a replacement for strong parenting, they can help make your task easier, especially with younger children. Suggestion number 5. Children who are reluctant to talk to you about what they're doing online or seem to be withdrawing from family and friends may have a problem. It can be a sign of normal teenage behavior, but that doesn't mean you should ignore changes in your children's personalities. Cyberbullying is just one experience that may cause your children to withdraw. Suggestion number 6. If your children continually spend too much time online or ignore rules about what they can and cannot do, it may be time to pull the plug on the internet. Although your children may disagree, they can survive without it. Make sure you're clear about why you're doing it and how long it will last. Consider what you'll do when they have a homework project that requires access. And remember that they may be able to use computers at school, in the library, and at a friend's house.
Now listen again.
You're going to listen to a radio program for parents discussing issues about internet safety for their children. It's difficult enough being a parent without worrying about internet safety as well. The key is to remember that the internet is a lot more like the real world than like television, to which it is so often compared. Parents often set rules about visiting a friend's house without an adult present. You may or may not enforce similar rules in your own home, but they are an excellent starting place for creating a positive and safe online experience. So, here are suggested rules about internet safety, which should be discussed with your children.
Suggestion number 1. Create rules about when and how long your children can use the computer. Be clear about what they can and cannot do online. If they need to complete chores or homework first, outline that as well. Discuss things like instant messaging, chat rooms, blogs, and social networking sites like MySpace, Facebook, Virtual Worlds, Club Penguin, Webkinz. Work out a contract with your children about household expectations and have everyone sign it. Don't forget to come up with consequences for breaking the rules. Suggestion number 2. It's not enough for your computer to be in a central location in your home if you're not observing what your kids are doing. Make a habit of pulling up a chair and talking to your children about what they're doing. If you expect to know who your kids are with and where they go when they leave the house, this is the same. Suggestion number 3. There is no difference between attending a sporting match or a field trip, which is an enjoyable experience you may share together. If your children have taken an interest in an online community such as Webkinz, MySpace, or Facebook, find out what they like about it. Sign up for your own account and add your children as a friend. This allows you to have a better sense of what they're doing and what sort of things they're coming in contact with. But it also shows your kids that you're interested in their activities. Suggestion number 4. There is no shortage of internet safety tools that might help you control, track, or limit what your kids can say and do online. Take the time to learn about internet filters, firewalls, monitoring software, browsers for kids, and other tools. While they are not a replacement for strong parenting, they can help make your task easier, especially with younger children. Suggestion number 5. Children who are reluctant to talk to you about what they're doing online or seem to be withdrawing from family and friends may have a problem. It can be a sign of normal teenage behavior, but that doesn't mean you should ignore changes in your children's personalities. Cyberbullying is just one experience that may cause your children to withdraw. Suggestion number 6. If your children continually spend too much time online or ignore rules about what they can and cannot do, it may be time to pull the plug on the internet. Although your children may disagree, they can survive without it. Make sure you're clear about why you're doing it and how long it will last. Consider what you'll do when they have a homework project that requires access. And remember that they may be able to use computers at school, in the library, and at a friend's house.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. The listening section is now over. Please stop working on this section. Now go on to the next sections of the test.